the good news is, praise the Lord, it's something that is not supposed to be reoccurring. So now, as long as my levels stay good, we should be good to go. I know the answer to the problem, though, is when our blessed hope, Jesus Christ, comes back and takes us home to glory to be with Him, then we won't have to worry about sickness and pain or anything like that. And I know that's the day I'm looking forward to the most out in the future. And Lord willing, we'll be preaching on that this morning. But first, I want to do a lesson this morning out of 1 Peter chapter 5. As much as I don't like the devil, and as much as I am completely against him, I believe it is still good, though. As a Christian, you have to know who your adversary is. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, that's what it calls the devil. It calls him our adversary, the devil. And I believe it's if you're going to beat your enemy, if you're going to have some victories, number one, you got to know that you alone can't beat him. Whenever Michael the archangel in Jude verse 9, it says whenever he withstood the devil, he alone didn't withstand him. He said it's in God that I do this. So if the archangel had enough sense not to face off, you know, face to face with Lucifer when it comes to disputing over the body of Moses, don't think that you can go out there and grab the devil by the neck and drag him around either. That's not the case. But I do believe you should know some things about him, and I believe this, I hope it'll be a help to you this morning. This will be a little bit more meat than milk this morning. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 8, says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." And there's a reason that the lion is called the king of the jungle. I don't know if you know that or not. Something I've been pretty interested in here lately, and something I've been looking into. I'll never be able to do it, and it's something I really was never interested in until my father-in-law started sending me stuff on it, but it was going on a lion hunt. And I thought, well, that don't interest me. If it's not a deer or a turkey grunting, or I'll go kill pigs and stuff, I have no interest in going to Africa and killing a lion. But then I got to researching them and seeing how fast they are and how powerful they are and just how, bold a lion can be. A lion is a pretty magnificent creature. I know you might see one in the Montgomery or the Gulf Breeze Zoo, and he's just locked up in a cage licking himself. He may not look like much, but I can promise you, you would not want to be in a field with some tall grass with a lion out there hiding out waiting on you. You wouldn't stand a chance. Not unless you had a 600 caliber rifle, double barrel style, that they use over there in Africa. A 30-06 or something like that would be about like shooting a squirrel with a BB gun here. It'd just bounce off of them. Wouldn't do no good. They're a tough creature. Well, that's what our adversary, the devil, he says he's as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So first thing that we're going to look at is, where did he come from? Where did the devil come from? And you'll find that in Ezekiel chapter 28. Look in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 28. And the reason we're doing this morning is because a lot of people tend to forget about the devil. And I was talking to my dad about this earlier in the week. I believe one of the greatest devices of Satan himself, and I mean this is for 2026, for exactly where we are today, one of his greatest devices is the device of distraction. You know, one of his greatest devices is actually getting you just so distracted and not worried about anything else that is going on, and he keeps you so busy, he keeps your schedule just so booked up that you don't even have time to think about God and to think that the devil might actually even be after you. I've heard preachers say before, well, if the devil's not after you, it's because he's already got you. And that can be true, but I do know that the devil, he works differently and he adapts to the time and to the culture just as everything else does. So in Ezekiel chapter 28, we'll look at verse 11 starting off. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy transfix. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. This right here, I know it says King of Tyrus in verse 12, but this is no King of Tyrus. This is the devil himself. This is Lucifer, and Lucifer, what that name means, that name literally means light bearer. So what Lucifer's job was back whenever he was in the mountain of God is he was just supposed to reflect the light right back to God Almighty. He was simply, his job was to reflect the light. He was just to bear the light right back to him. And we know that it talks about the tabrets and the pipes that was prepared in thee. That means he had the music in him. That's why another one of the greatest, I mean one of the absolute greatest devices in the world today that the devil uses is music. It's something that a lot of people don't think too much about. I've heard this before, and then I actually discovered it to be true. And I'm not going to give a list of all of them, but there's some contemporary worship songs out there that we've had missionaries that have been at the church before that they have told us that the same beat that they have, you see, there's different beats and different songs. Like you have like in the hymnals that we have here, a lot of them are a 2-2, a 6-8, a 4-4, or a 3-4. That's the beat that they have. That's the timing that they have. That's three beats in a measure or four beats in a measure. A lot of those beats and those songs are the same. They have the same beat and the same rhythm that they use over in Africa that the witch doctors use to call up devils from the pits of hell. It's a fact. Some of the missionaries, they get over here in the States and they hear that music and they say, whoa, that's what they use over in the dark continent. That's what they use to draw up the devils out of the fires that they worship. You see, well, where do they get that from? Well, the devil. In him was the tabrets and the pipes that was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He's called the anointed cherub that covereth. See, where does he come from? Well, God created him. God made him. And he fell. And it talks about this falling here. It talks about casting him down to the earth. There's another place where it talks about that he shoots him down. He's like a lightning bolt whenever he gets shot down out of heaven, straight to the earth. You see, the devil, he used to not be a bad guy. He used to be a good guy. And you see, he copies God Almighty in every single way that he can. And there's coming a day whenever the Antichrist will be here on earth that he's going to look so much like Christ that the Jews are going to take him as Christ. And all those that take the mark of the beast, and we know that that's their sentence to death right there whenever they take that mark. There's no coming back from that. But this being here, he used to not always be what we call the devil today. It says he used to be perfect. It says he used to be beautiful. Says he used to be, he's still full of wisdom, I can promise you that. He is still, absolutely full of wisdom. And you might be surprised if you've seen him today what he might look like. I don't know that he's walking around with a pitchfork, with a pointy tail, and with goat's horns or anything like that. I don't know. I don't want to see him, though. I don't care to see him. You know, I'm okay with seeing him at the last day, you know, whenever the Lord throws him off into the pits of hell, bound hand and feet for all eternity. I'm okay with seeing him then. Right now, though, I don't care to see the devil. I don't know what he's going to look like. He may have a suit and tie. I don't know. But I don't care to see him. But he's called the anointed cherub that covereth. He was called perfect. But whenever he sinned, look at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. It says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Y'all know what Lucifer had? He had pride. And we'll read about it here in a few minutes. We'll get over into Isaiah when he has his five I wills. But the devil, he had pride. And he got to thinking that he was a lot better than the very one that had created him. He got to thinking that he was more beautiful. He got to thinking that he was just better than God himself. And we know that that is absolutely not the case. But you see, it's a humbling thing to think that something that had that much wisdom, a creature and a being that was given that much beauty, the Lord trusted him with the pipes, with the tabrets, with all the instruments of heaven to be over all that. And the Lord trusted him with a job to simply just reflect the light in an absolutely perfect environment. See, this was in heaven. This was up on the mountain of God. And he fell. You see, what's that mean? That means any of us can fall. You see, we're not as wise as Lucifer. Lucifer, he knew that he had to have known that there was no getting away with it if he was to try to stand up against God. We know that's how we get fallen angels. Whenever he had his angels stand up with him and they get cast down too, we'll read all the verses about that. But it's something that'll keep you humble. That if a being like that can fall and end up in the place that he's going to end up in, how about us? We can fall real quick. You see, it takes a lifetime to build a testimony. And it takes one accident to ruin a testimony. You see, you can spend your entire life building just as clean of a Christian man or a Christian woman, a godly man testimony that you can build. And it'll take just one incident can ruin it for the rest of your life. And that will be all that people remember. So just keep that in mind. Isaiah chapter 14. Let's look over there right quick. Isaiah chapter 14. We'll pick up in verse 12. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12. It says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? But notice this right here in verse 13 at the end of it. It says, I will sit also upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now look at Psalms chapter 48 and verse 2. Psalms chapter 48 and verse 2. That Isaiah chapter 14 right there, that's where we get the five I wills that Lucifer had right there. He's given, I will ascend above the Most High. I will make my throne up there. I will sit on the sides of the north. Well, he's not going to, and he can't. Look at Psalms chapter 48 and verse 2. Well, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for citation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king." You see, what's that right there? Well, the city of the great king on the sides of the north. Well, that's where God Almighty is. You see, Lucifer, what he's trying to do here is he's trying to be God himself. You see, that's what in Isaiah chapter 14 he says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And I will be like the Most High." You see, five, that number five, it represents death in the Bible. Lucifer didn't know it, but he had signed his own death sentence right there. He said, "I will be like the Most High." And I've already mentioned it some, but whenever it comes time for the tribulation, that Antichrist, he's going to show up, and then there's going to be a lot of the Jews are going to take him as Jesus Christ whenever he comes. They're going to take him as the one that they thought, you know, back in Isaiah and the prophecies, that they thought it would be him. You see, they rejected the first Messiah, or they rejected their Messiah whenever he came. That's how we Gentiles, that's how we got into everything. That's how we got into being saved by grace through faith, whenever the Jews rejected their king. But there's coming a day they're going to accept one. And he's called the Abomination of Desolation. And he's going to stand in the temple one day professing himself as God. And that's whenever the Jews there, whenever that happens, that's whenever they better hit the road. The Bible says that, it says, "Woe unto them that give suck in those days." It says, don't even go in the house and don't even go and get a spare change of clothes. Just hit the ground running. And I'm thankful we won't have to be here for any of that. I'm thankful that by the time all that comes, the trumpet's going to sound, and it says that God, that the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and we're going to be out of here. But there's going to be a lot of people that aren't. So we have where he came from. He was made by God in his fall. We have that in Isaiah chapter 14. But you see, a question now is, what is he up to now? Well, look at Job chapter 1. Look at Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, we'll start in verse 6. It says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it." You know what Lucifer's doing right now? He's going to and fro as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. It says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." And we know that Satan, he tells God that, you know, "You let me do X, Y, and Z to him, and he'll curse thee, he'll forsake thee, he'll give up on you, and he won't serve you anymore." Well, Satan's got the same mindset today that he did back then whenever he was dealing with Job. So what's he wanting to do? He's wanting you to curse God. You see, whenever Job's wife, what was it she said to him? She said, "Curse God and what? Die." She told Job to curse God and die. You see, what's the devil want you to do? Well, he wants you to mess up. You see, he may not necessarily, and you know, he probably does too. You know, it wouldn't surprise me a bit. I know he's a wicked being. But what he wants you to do more than anything is, number one, he wants to keep a lost person from getting saved. That's his number one thing. He wants to keep as many people out of heaven as he absolutely possibly can. That's why he keeps them distracted with all the things that are going on in the world right now. That's why the church is an empty building on Sunday mornings. and on Wednesday nights when it comes time for Bible study. Say, why? Well, because Junior and Sissy's got a baseball and a softball game on Wednesdays. And on Sundays, I know off 9 Mile Road in Pensacola, Florida, I know you drive by the ball fields there the other 6 days out of the week, and they're pretty empty, but Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, you can't put another car in the parking lot out there. You say, what's that? Well, it's a distraction of the devil. Let's have them play on Sunday. Why not Saturday? I don't know. You drive by the ball fields out there, and they're absolutely empty except for some practices on a Saturday. You let 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning come around, there'll be 3,000 cars parked out there. You say, what's that? It's a device of Satan. With something as innocent as a baseball game, and look, I am all for baseball. I love playing in a men's softball, a slow-pitch softball league. I love it. But we don't play on Sunday, and we don't play on Wednesday. We don't play on the nights that we have visitation. We don't play during weeks of revival or VBS or anything like that. You see, there's nothing wrong with sports. There's nothing wrong with those things. But if they're coming before God, then anything can be wrong if it comes before God. See, what is it? It's a distraction of the devil. He's walking, going to and fro on the earth, and he's looking for whom he may devour. But right here in Job chapter 1 and verse 6, it mentions something here. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves. You see, what's that there? Well, the Lord has his angels as ministering spirits of fire, right? The Lord has his angels. The Lord has his ministering spirits. Well, if the devil, if he's going to copy God as best as he can, well, he has to have his as well. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Well, it's Genesis chapter 6. Look at Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 3 is where the Lord, or where Lucifer, he deceives Adam and Eve into taking of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And ever since then, this world has just been a mess. Look at Genesis chapter 6. Verse 1, it says, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took unto themselves, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children unto them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. But look at verse 4. It says there were giants in the earth in those days. You see, Goliath wasn't the only giant that ever walked the face of the earth. See, Goliath had brothers. And you read through 1 Samuel there, and you read about in 2 Samuel 2 and in the Kings, David's mighty men, you know, there was a couple of them that slew giants. And whenever you read all through Genesis, and then especially in Exodus, whenever Moses has taken over all the lands there, you ever read about Og, king of Bashan? You know how big that guy's bed was? Made out of iron. You see, what was that? That was a descendant of the sons of God. See, what's that? You see, it's crazy, but it's in the Bible. You see, Hollywood has to get its imagination from somewhere. You see, this world has to get its ideas from somewhere, and a lot of it they get from a Bible. A lot of the stuff that they get about giants walking around in the earth and all that, they get it from a King James Bible. If only they knew it. You see, what's this? This world, at least in Pensacola, and I know I'm going to sound crazy whenever I'm saying this, but near about now, 365 days out of the year, you drive around down there, There's 8 and 9 foot tall skeletons in people's yards that when Christmas time comes, he's wearing a Santa Claus hat and a big belt. Whenever Easter comes, he's got an Easter egg basket and bunny ears. Whenever Halloween comes, he's got a big knife in his hand and he's covered in blood. Whenever Thanksgiving comes, he's wearing a top hat and he's got a turkey in his hand. You see, what is it? The world is ready for something that they don't even know how much they are ready for it. See, what are they ready for? They're ready for all this to come back up. You see, and there's a lot of things that I could... It could scare you half to death if you only knew how bad the tribulation was going to be and how bad it's going to be before the tribulation takes place, before God Almighty comes and calls us out. There are some things that have got to come to pass. But in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 4 and all those verses there, we're dealing with the sons of God. Say, what's that? Well, that's the angels that fell whenever Lucifer fell. That's the ones that were got behind Lucifer. And look at Jude. The book of Jude. See, this is where I know everybody calls them demons. The word demon doesn't appear in the King James Bible. In Greek, that's demos, but it's translated in the King James as devils. But this is where you get them from. This is where those beings come from. In Jude, verse 6. It says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day. You see, angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. Say, what's that? Well, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair to look upon, and they took unto themselves wives, and there was giants in the earth in those days. Say, what's that? Well, that's those angels right here. You see, God has His angels. God has His ministering spirits as a flame of fire, and the devil does too. You see, the devil wasn't the only one that was cast out of heaven that day. You see, these angels here, they're called the sons of God. They're the very ones that were with Lucifer in Job chapter 1 when it says the sons of God came and it says that Satan was with them. It says they were going to and fro in the earth. You see, that's the devils. You see, there's one devil. There's many devils. And I'm here to tell you, if you think that that being is not real, you are deceived. If you think that there's not devils out there, you are deceived. If you think that there's not something out there that... And I'm not saying it's some kind of monster that's hiding under your bed waiting to get you. I'm not saying that at all. That's really not how he works. You see, how does he work? Well, in Genesis chapter 3, what's he tell to Eve? Yea, hath God said. All right, he wants to get Eve away from what God said. He wants to get Adam away from what God said. He wants them to do exactly what God told them not to do. All right, in Job chapter 1, what's he wanting to do? He says, you know, let me get his health, let me kill all his kids, let me do all this, and he will curse thee, and he will forsake thee. The devil wants to get you away from God Almighty. If he can't have your soul, and if you're saved, he cannot touch your soul. He can't. But he can sure enough help snatch away your testimony for the rest of your days. Look at Genesis chapter 1 right quick. We've got just a few more minutes. We'll try to look at some of the things here on the sons of God. And really, this part here is something you could spend a couple of weeks trying to cover what happens in between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2. It says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Well, why would God create something and make it void and full of darkness? That's not the way God does things. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. Well, look at 2 Peter chapter 2 first. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." In verse 4 it says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned." Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 now. Just one page over, 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 5. It says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So right here in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, it talks about God not sparing the angels. And then right here in verse 6 of chapter 3, it says, "Whereby the world that then was perished, being overflowed with water." Look at Genesis chapter 1 again. We're running out of time. We'll try to cover this right quick. But Genesis chapter 1. We'll close at this with giving you something to think about. Genesis chapter 1. Well, look at verse 27. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and do what? Replenish." See, that means there was something there before. "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it, over the fish of the air and over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air." That one word there, it'll catch your attention. It says to replenish. Who is he telling to replenish the earth? Adam and Eve. Well, a little while goes by and there comes a flood, right? And Noah and his family is on the ark. Whenever they get off that ark, what does God tell them to do? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. You see, I'm not getting into some conspiracy theory or anything like that. I'm not big into conspiracy theories. I'm just giving you some Bible here and trying to give you a history lesson on the devil and on his fallen angels. Well, that means this earth was multiplied at one time before us. And what that would be, that would have to be those devils. That would have to be those fallen angels that were sent down. God Almighty had already flooded them out one time. And they came back again. And then God had to flood them out again. I know that's a lot to try to take in, but I wanted to try to get it all in before junior church ended. And my clock stopped counting how long I've been. So I guess we will go ahead and take a break there. I'll pray right quick and we'll take a break. Father, as we come before you now, Lord, just want to say